That, no, that's not the phone. I don't know where that phone is. I hope I don't bump it with my papers. Middle, right, or left? Oh, at the top. I don't have to worry then. Okay. Well, we have a sunny day here. I don't know about the moment. It's sunny and breezy. Summer has sprung. We always have warm and cold fronts go through. And that keeps us excited hopping, warm and cold at different times of the year for whatever the purpose might be. We in this world are living an uphill battle against Satan, society, and self. It's not easy. It's not meant to be, because we are supposed to try and grow in character, more than try. God gives us the strength through His Spirit to continually grow in His holy, righteous, perfect character. Are we perfect yet? No, but we are striving to be. What I'd like to do today is talk on a topic sort of indirectly how God called us into His church in a small way, but very powerful way. And as we go through, that'll be just the beginning. We will then show how this world is very different than us in terms of examples of Paul in his writings in one place, Christ in his writing in one place dealing with someone, and their experience, how they turned away. And then examples of how in Scripture we can live this way with earnest. So maybe let's call this message earnestly contending for the kingdom with the uphill stream. Because, brethren, we know we could go the other way. It would be easy going downstream. But it's not easy going upstream, is it? But God provides us the strength. What did God do in terms of calling us? Let's go to our first scripture, very familiar and not quoted too often, John chapter 6, verse 44. John chapter 6, verse 44 says something about God the Father in regard to Jesus Christ and us. In John chapter 6, verse 44, it says, "No man can come to me." The world thinks that they can come to Christ, accept Christ. They're wrong. Scripture says, "No man can come to Christ." Why? "Except the Father," meaning God the Father, "which has sent me," meaning Christ, "and, you know, draw him," meaning us. As one person had said, "draw," meaning kicking and screaming. We really don't want to go this way. But in due time we learn to, and God provides us to. And the hope, which others, like as Marie went to sleep yesterday after her health struggle, it says, "I will raise you up at the last day." Let's go to verse 65. It says somewhat the same thing, not quoted as often as verse 44. In verse 65 of the same chapter, John chapter 6, it says, "No man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." So God the Father had to decide what to do. And, you know, we all learn about Jesus Christ afterwards. The Father did the calling. We did not decide we wanted to be called. God called us. What I'd like to do now, there are at least two scriptures that I'm going to read at length with some commentary, which hopefully won't be a downfall for me with either Braille errors or questioning my fingers of the Braille, showing what struggle we really have in this world against Satan and his ways. But actually, before we go to one of those two scriptures, there's one other scripture first, which makes, well, it's actually all part of the same package. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 16. And I do not have verse numbers copied out to say when I'm at a certain verse going through. So you'll just have to follow along in each case. So it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 16. And it says there, eye has not seen. We didn't see it by our human eye, did we? Nor ear heard. God had to open our ears. Neither has it entered into the heart of man. In Jeremiah, it says about the heart being deceitful and desperately wicked till God calls someone. So anyway, neither has it entered into the heart of man. We're in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 through 16. The things which God has prepared for them that love him. Did we love God initially? No, we had that carnal human nature of Romans 8, 7. The carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But when we are called to God's way, and we heed the call, God changes that with his help. And we'll get to where that help comes from in a little while. Carrying on with the passage, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16. But God has revealed them unto us, meaning we his people, here today in this hall and listening online, by his Spirit, that's the key, by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. God's ways are very deep, very true, and very, not necessarily, they aren't complicated, it's just the Word of God doesn't have anything in one place only on any one topic. It's a coded book, the Word of God in print, Jesus Christ, the Word of God in print. For what man knows the things of man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? That was a question. I didn't read it as a question. I meant to. Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. And God reveals those things to us through a Spirit, the Father, and then Christ. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. We are living in the world, but we are to come out of the world. But the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given. God gives to us freely eternal life. The gifts of the Spirit, the works that we do, though we are not saved by works. Freely given to us of God, which things also we speak. We speak when we speak here at services in terms of those speaking up here and everyone else is listening and judging. But even in our fellowship before and after, we speak of God's way because it is the most important thing in our life to live this way. We don't speak in the words which man speaks of his wisdom. Better read it as is here. Not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. A lot here about the Holy Spirit, isn't there? We compare spiritual things with spiritual. Ever coming to an understanding of God's truth. It's a process. Someone who spoke here recently had three topics in mind, and I'm not speaking on conversion per se, but one of them was conversion. Conversion is a process. But it says here, the natural man hears not the things of the Spirit of God. They don't, but we, the few people here, and in other places around the world, we are God's peculiar people. We are listening now because we are here to hear God's word and obey him. For as it says, for they are foolishness unto him, meaning the people of the world. They were foolishness unto us at one time, were they not? Neither can he, meaning man, know them because they are spiritually discerned. God gives us spiritual discernment. Certainly was last week when we had the sermonette on when to answer someone and when not to answer someone in terms of their questions. But he that is spiritually judges all things. We judge righteous judgment. Yet he himself, meaning us, is judged of no man. God judges us. For who has known the mind of the Lord? We don't know, but as we come to know God through studying his word and in prayer, we come to know more of the mind of Christ, that he may instruct him. God instructs us, but we have the mind of Christ. We should be thankful we have the God of Christ, the mind of Christ. We are not God. We are gods under the true God. Well, the world might say, let's go to the next scripture, Acts 16:31. Something that the world says that without further understanding of more truth, which God has given us, we have more of a proper understanding of this verse in Acts 16, verse 31. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. And it says there in Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Well, the world thinks you have to believe and not obey. We'll get to that in a moment. And it says, and your whole house. Well, we do know that people's whole houses are not being called to the church now. In many a case, in some cases they are. But future-wise, everyone will be called to God's truth, and we will be able to teach them. Now, since we know we're supposed to do more than just believe on Christ, or believe in Christ, as the world says, let's go. We're staying in Acts, so same book, very familiar verse, Acts chapter 5, verse 32. In Acts chapter 5, verse 32, it clarifies that we do not just believe on or believe in Christ, or God the Father, or both. In Acts chapter 5, verse 32, it says, for we are his witnesses. We have been called by God to be his witnesses of these things, God's truth. And so is also the Holy Spirit. I mentioned the Holy Spirit a few times already in this message, in these verses. What does it say here about the Holy Spirit? It is given to those whom God has given to them that obey him. We not only have to believe on God or in God, but we have to obey him. And that's what we should do. That's sort of, even though there was a fair amount of reading here, now we go into the writing of the Apostle Paul, where he has his struggles. And I read this to you, and you follow along, because you have the same struggles as Paul. We're all still human. We're still striving to overcome. Romans chapter 7. A good amount of verses again. Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. And it says there, for we know that the law is spiritual. We are here, obeying God's law. But Paul admits, as we do, I am still carnal, sold under sin. We'll still sin, but hopefully less all the time. And we're still overcoming. Continuing with verses, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. That meaning that Paul was struggling, as we still are at times. We fall short and don't always make the mark. We miss the mark. But what I hate, that I do. Do we do it intentionally? No, but at times through weakness, we do fall short. But God forgives us, and we repent, and he has mercy, and we move forward. Ever more than before. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Yes, we know God's law is good. I'll quote a scripture later that confirms it in a certain way within this chapter earlier on. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Sin is still in us. But we are striving to still overcome sin. And with God's help, we can and will. For I know that in me, parentheses here, that is in my flesh, we are not spirit beings yet, we are flesh, dwells no good thing. But once God calls us, there are good things that come of us. For to will is present with me, but how to perform which is good, I find not. It's not always easy to perform and do the right works. But with God's help through His Spirit, He guides us and we are able to do it. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. We are still overcoming evil. We are in an uphill battle against Satan, society, and our carnal human nature, the three S's, Satan, society, and self. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I just copied the whole thing out. It's for emphasis that we're still working at it with God's help. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, but to a lesser degree, as I already stated. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. We are now being worked at from within with God's help, that inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. That's the carnal law of man, Satan, and bringing me into captivity into the law of sin, which is in my members. But we don't have to be held captive, brethren. God gives us the freedom to ask Him all the time for more of His help. Paul says here at a point when he was probably more, for lack of other terminology, depressed or down and out, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Well, God has called us. We've been delivered from it. We're now walking a new way of life. It says here, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." He's thanking God for His calling. "So then, with the mind on myself, serve the law of God and His people, but with the flesh, the law of sin." More the law of God than that of sin. We'll stay in Romans now, chapter 7, where we have been all along. Verse 7 we'll read. I sort of hinted at this earlier without stating what it says or the verse. For it says in verse 7 of Romans 7, "For what shall we say then? Is the law sin? No, God forbid," it says. "Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law." That's how we knew what sin was, by knowing what the law was, so we could turn around and repent and go the other direction. For as it says here, "For I had not known lust, except the law had said, you shall not covet." We had the writings of the Apostle Paul there in Romans, showed how his struggle was, and our struggle still is, but God helps us. What about now an example, not where Christ had a struggle, though we know He did with Matthew 4 and Luke 4, but a man that came to Him and asked Him a question, and what God said, and how the man dealt with it. Hopefully we don't deal with it that way. Future tense, I mean. With God's strength, we won't. Let's go to Matthew 19. Another stretch of long scripture here. Matthew 19, verses 16 through 27. Matthew 19, verses 16 through 27. "And behold, one came and said unto Jesus, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Yes, God is offering us eternal life as He was this fellow. "And Jesus said unto him, Why call you me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But it says here, but if you have, will enter into life, meaning eternal life, keep the commandments. Brethren, fellow family members, we are here keeping the Sabbath today, observing it, protecting it, guarding it, observing it. Being that set group of people called by God to be set apart from the rest of the world, doing things different. The rest will do it later. We are painting the picture and setting the example now for everyone else later. Jesus said unto him, he said unto him, when Jesus said, you shall, I'm stumbling here, afraid that would happen. He said unto him, oh, which? Okay, the fellow was asking which commandments. Jesus said, you shall have, do no murder. There's certainly lots of that going around, even hit and runs. Even though that's murder in a different way. There was one yesterday here in the Buffalo area, or Thursday, I think it was. Someone hit someone and drove off. You shall not commit adultery. Lots of music out these days with extramarital and premarital sex. We know we have to forego that way, but the world is still entrenched in that. We are thankful we are not. We are not any better than anyone else, but God is calling us to a higher calling. You shall not steal. There are times that people break into homes, even with alarm systems, even though God protects his people. You shall not bear false witness. There's certainly a lot of that with what's going on in the last year and a half or so with things in this country and other places, character assassination and other things. Honor your father and your mother, and generally speaking for those commandments, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Do we love our neighbor as ourselves? We are not to think just of ourselves. The young men said unto Jesus, all these things have I kept from my youth up. For those that have been called into the church since they were born into the physical family. Some of us were called later. But either way, the man asked Christ, what lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if you will be perfect. Are we perfect yet? Yeah, Matthew 5:48 says, become you therefore perfect. It's a process. Conversion and perfection is a process through the profession and obedience of the holy day plan of God. So it says here, if you will be perfect, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. Does that mean we can't have riches? Of course not. We heard a sermon a little over a decade ago from someone who shared a friend out west somewhere that apparently may not very well in life physically, but because of being very well made in life physically, in terms of income and whatever, that person is able to share more of what he has with others because he has more been given to him. Back to this scripture in Matthew 19. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, and he had great possessions. It's not wrong to have possessions. It's just a matter of priorities. This is not an attack on the rich. It's a matter of priorities. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, truly I say unto you, that a rich man shall not hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. In this life, they will when they're called later, and their mind is open to God's truth. They are not struggling now as we are, the uphill stream battle. And again I say unto you, Christ says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And here's the disciples' response. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then shall be saved? Christ had the right answer, as he always does. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. God is working out through us in his own timely way. Anyone who he calls when he wishes to come to his truth, the knowledge, the understanding, and the wisdom to use that truth in the proper way. Now one might ask, okay, I've shown two examples of Paul's struggles, knowing we have struggles, and someone else there with Christ in Matthew 19 having his and going the other way, though we know we shouldn't. Well, what now can we do in our life? We're already here obeying God. We're first going to go to Matthew 22, verses 36 through 38. Generally speaking, some things here. Matthew 22, verses 36 through 38. Some lawyer was talking to Jesus, and he asked, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and all your mind. In Deuteronomy 6, it says might or mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. I didn't quote the second half here, but we did from another place, in terms of loving your neighbor as yourself. What does God give us to help us? I referred a number of times to God's Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. I'm not going to read verses 19 through 21, but they show the ways of the flesh, the ways that we are trying to overcome and will overcome, are overcoming. But let's focus on the fruit of the Spirit, what God gives us to overcome. The fruit of the Spirit is love, be it love toward your mate, your physical family, God's spiritual family, or just friends. Joy, as I said in one other message, at club one time there was a question of sorts, what came over you, even though it's not a feeling, once you were baptized? And one person said, joy. Another person said, peace. Yes, we have our trials, long suffering, patience. We need to learn to be more gentle. Gentleness, goodness, faith, walking by faith, not by sight, not turning around and going the other way in terms of back to the world. Though we are weak at times, and we do, but God forgives us and we turn the other way and are back in good straits, so to speak. Being meek, as certain people in the Bible were meek. Temperance. We talked about the law of God here earlier on. It says here, against such there is no law. No law against doing the right thing. There is no sin. We aren't under the penalty of death. What things do we have to struggle with? In terms of certain things, I'm not going to use any examples, just point to three scriptures. In terms of our daily upstream walk with God against the ways of Satan's world. We'll go to 1 Timothy 5, verse 22 first. Three scriptures on this subject, just things to be aware of. Yes, we can live in the world, but we have to watch how much we are in it. But we have to be in it, setting an example, showing a good example to others. But if we're in it maybe too much, or certain things are maybe not good that we're around, we have to be careful that things don't rub off on us. So that's the point of these next three scriptures. Being aware of our surroundings, still set the right example, be an example to the world, but be sure we are at a higher level, setting the right example ourselves, and not being pulled back as we're trying to go upstream toward the kingdom. 1 Timothy 5:22 says, Be not partakers of other men's sins. Everyone sins, we do too, but when we see someone doing something, like sometimes I've heard people at work, maybe your boss or some coworker ask you to do something, if it's not in adherence to the law of God, you can't be a part of it. So you have to forsake it. And as it says here, keep yourself pure. Is it easy? No. Are we pure all the time? No. It's all a process. Conversion's a process. The next scripture on this subject, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22. Sort of coincidental here. Really, but not really. Two chapters and verses in different books, saying somewhat similar but different things to bring the point across. As we've heard it said before, when God says something once, it's important. If he says it more than once, it's more important. We're supposed to heed, pay attention. So it says here in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. It's not easy to do. There are situations sometimes we find ourselves in that we have to remove ourselves from, but sometimes we can't. We just have to not be involved with what takes place. Next, why is the world this way? Why is the world this way? 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. 1 John 2, verses 15 and 16. We are to live in the world, but it says here, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Of course, that doesn't mean we can't have possessions or houses or cars. Whatever, go on vacation, sure we can. It's all a matter of priorities and balance. It says here, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Priorities. How and where are our priorities? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. It is not wrong to take in fleshly things and see things with our eyes, but we have to have a pride of life, but from a spiritual point of view, we just have to be sure we keep the focus. As it says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. We're now going to go to, I think it's 2 Peter. The dot is not clear, but I think my memory's correct. Chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. It's similar in some ways to Galatians 5, 22 and 23, where God, who has given us his Holy Spirit, the fruit of it, to use, to prosper, and to grow. It's just some of the things repeated in a somewhat different way with some instruction in the process of thereof at the end of these two verses. Okay. Be partakers of the divine nature. We are seeking to have more of God's divine nature, his mind in us. Having escaped the corruption of that is in the world through lust, as it says here, and so these things, giving all diligence, we're supposed to do these things diligently. Add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge, temperance. To temperance, patience. A little different order here. Godliness. Are we showing godliness to ourselves and to all men? By our example, we don't have to be preaching to people. We're not supposed to be. Be a light by the way which we live. Brotherly kindness and charity or love in the four different ways that I aforementioned earlier. Here is what it says at the end of these verses. And this is what I would like to conclude this message with. For if these things be in you, be it Galatians 5, 22 and 3, and we live them, or 2 Peter 1, verses 4 through 7, and we abound, they shall make you that you shall neither be barren. We don't want to be empty, dry, or barren, nor unfruitful. God wants us to be fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's move on forward in this uphill battle against Satan, society, and self, our own human nature, pressing ever forward toward the kingdom, wanting to take it with force and serve in it.